KJAN Sports.
Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in sports here on KJAN. Well, we have high school baseball and softball scores to report to you here this morning. The season getting underway yesterday for the shortened year. And let's take a look here, starting on the softball side for the Atlantic Trojans. They opened up the season with the victory as they went on the road and beat Lewis Central 10-2 last night. Reagan Pellett scored two runs and had two hits for the Trojans. Atlantic head coach Terry Hensman said it was a pretty good performance for an opening night.
First game out, I wasn't 100% clean, but for the most part, I thought that the girls did a great job. We put runners on base throughout the entire course of the game with multiple hits and had runners in scoring position, which is always good, and we're able to get them around a little bit with the long ball, hitting some gaps, but also at the same time getting some bunts down, especially early on, taking that 2-0 lead in the second, mostly on the short game.
And Coach Hensman was pretty pleased with the effort from Olivia Engler in the circle, and they played pretty well defensively as well.
Olivia did a great job in the circle. She had 12 or 13 strikeouts, kept the walks and things to a minimum. Defensively, we had one error late in the game when it was pretty much decided at that point. So, you know, for the most part, coming out for that very first game and not having anything this spring under our belt and maybe a shortened amount of time to be able to work on our hitting, I thought that we played very, very well.
And the Trojans now will come home here to play their home doubleheader opener tonight against Dennis and Schleswig. Their home games this year being played at the Atlantic Little League Complex just across the street here from our studios. And we'll have that double dip for you tonight here on the radio. First game set for 5:30, second game at 7:30 here tonight. Catch it here on KJAN. Also in Hawkeye 10 play last night, it was Creston 12-4 over Red Oak. Harlan a 4-0 winner over St. Albert. Kemper Catholic beat Dennis and Schleswig 5-2. And Shenandoah was a 10-7 winner over Clarinda. In Western Iowa Conference play, it was AHSTW 14-2 over Tri-Center. Logan Magnolia beat Trainer 12-5. Riverside a 5-0 winner over Audubon. Underwood 6-0 over Missouri Valley. In Rolling Valley play, it was Arweva beating Coon Rapids Bayard 4-2. Exira EHK over Whiting 13-0. Glidden Ralston was a 15-3 winner over IKM Manning. And West Harrison beat Booyer Valley 7-3. Corner conference play, it was Griswold a 17-3 winner over East Mills. Haley Pennick scored four runs and four plate appearances with a triple and two stolen bases there for the Tigers. Martinsdale St. Mary's beat Lennox 4-3 in eight innings of play. It was Sydney 18-4 over Fremont Mills. And Southwest Valley, an 18-7 winner over Stanton. Pride of Iowa play, it was Bedford, a 12-5 winner over Lamoni, and Grandview Christian beat Nottoway Valley 6-0. In West Central Activities Conference play, it was Ogden 14-1 over Madrid, and West Central Valley 22-11 over Panorama. In other scores, Central Decatur 12-3 over Mouton Odell. It was East Union 11-1 over Orion Maxburg. Knoxville 8-1 over Southeast Warren. Mount Air beat Mormon Trail 19-0, and it was Wayne a 13-0 winner over Murray. Winterset 14-0 over Carroll. In baseball play, in Hawkeye 10 action, it was Lewis Central, a 12-2 winner over Atlantic, and the Trojans' season opener. Bryson Sharon had a triple among two hits and drove in four for Lewis Central. Brody O'Brien had two hits for Atlantic in that loss. And they'll have their home opener tonight against Dennis and Schleswig as well. They're playing their home games this year down at the Griswold Baseball Complex. Also in Hawkeye 10 play last night, it was Creston 15-0 over Red Oak. Kemper Catholic 11-10 over Dennis and Schleswig. Shenandoah beat Clarinda 1-0, and St. Albert an 8-3 winner over Harlan. Western Iowa Conference play, Audubon 25-2 over Riverside. Logan Magnolia beat Trainer 8-2. Tri-Center a 9-3 winner over HSTW, and Underwood 10-0 over Missouri Valley. In Rolling Valley Conference play, Coon Rapids Bayard 12-0 over Arweva, and Cam was a 15-1 winner over Exira EHK. That was a late-minute addition to the schedule. It actually scored as a non-conference game. In quarter conference action, it was East Mills 25-1 over Griswold. Sydney beat Fremont Mills 10-4. Stanton a 2-0 winner over Lennox. Pride of Iowa play, Bedford 7-2 over Southwest Valley. Winterset 9-3 over Nottoway Valley. And in the West Central Activities Conference, it was Madrid 5-4 over Ogden. Van Meter 6-1 over Pleasantville. And Woodward Granger 3-2 over ACGC. Other scores had Central Decatur beat Mouton Odell 16-0. East Union 11-1 over Orion Maxburg. Mount Air 10-0 over Mormon Trails. Sioux City North an 8-5 winner over Thomas Jefferson, and one half of the doubleheader, TJ got him in the other half 6-3. Let's look at your baseball and softball scores there for you from opening night of play last night. In sports news here in the state, the University of Iowa announced it has reached an agreement that will see head strength and conditioning coach Chris Doyle leave the school. Doyle has been accused of making degrading comments to black players on the football team. Athletic director Gary Barta talked with the media on Monday and says he came to the decision that Doyle should leave the team after emotional meetings with players to discuss the allegations of racial disparities within the football program.
As I was thinking through and trying to come up with next steps, I did come to the conclusion that one of those steps was that a separation with Coach Doyle was the thoughtful and sensible thing to do.
Barta says he then discussed it with head coach Kirk Ferentz.
Kirk and I talked, and we were both in full agreement that that was the case. And then, as I mentioned earlier, I ended up speaking with Chris first, and we just moved through that process. I can tell you this was not a decision that I made lightly, and it is just one piece of a plan that's going to be needed for us to move forward.
Barta says some of the issues were already being addressed after a report on the entire athletic department found graduation rates among black athletes were lower than their white counterparts.
And while no teams or individuals were singled out in the report, it was reported verbally that many of these comments were coming from football. So as a department, including football, we began to put a plan in place to address these issues.
He says part of the plan included hiring former football player Broderick Benz as the diversity coordinator. Barta got emotional and cried at a couple of points during the news conference when he talked about the impact of racism. He says they are taking other steps to improve.
I thought we were on a path of making things better and doing the right things. The things I've heard in the last week and a half especially, clearly they weren't enough and they weren't happening fast enough.
He announced the university has hired a Kansas City law firm to conduct an independent review of issues and allegations relating to racial disparities within the program.
And from that review, we'll receive a report, we'll learn, we'll determine any additional actions that need to be taken in response. We'll continue to listen. One of the things that I've known, I mean, this isn't new, but we have to find better ways, and that is to make sure that people have a place to go.
Barta says coaches have been the first place athletes go to voice a complaint, and he says they need to know they have another place where they can go if they have concerns that need to be addressed. Ferentz's son, Brian, is an assistant coach, and some allegations have also been made against him. Barta says he will see what the review determines about all of the other staff members on the football team. He did say he's confident in Kirk Ferentz's ability to continue leading the football program based on what he has seen in 15 years and the last few weeks.
I know how this is impacting him. I know, what he's trying to do to move forward, and I know the difficult conversations he's having and his willingness to change. And so those are the things I'm basing it upon.
Barta did not say when he expected the review to be completed. The details of the agreement with Doyle will pay him around $1.1 million in two installments. In baseball news, baseball commissioner Rob Manfred says there may be no major league games this year after a breakdown in talks between teams and the players' union on how to split up money in a season delayed by the pandemic. The league also revealed several players have tested positive for COVID-19. 2 days after union head Tony Clark declared additional negotiations futile, Deputy Commissioner Dan Hallam sent a 7-page letter to Players Association Chief Negotiator Bruce Meyer asking the union whether it will waive the threat of legal action and tell MLB to announce a spring training report date and a regular season schedule. These were just the latest escalating volleys in a sport viewing disagreement over starting the season as a preliminary battle ahead of bargaining to replace a labor contract that expires on December 1 of 2021. In other baseball news, Major League Baseball has delayed the start of the new international signings period from July 2nd to January 15th, a move that will cause teams to push back deals of 16- and 17-year-old Latin American prospects. Major League Baseball says the current signings year, scheduled to end on Monday, had been extended until October 15th. There has been a transaction freeze since March 28th, and any agreements between the end of the freeze and October 15th will count for the 2019-20 signings year. No international amateurs can be signed from October 15th until the new period opens on January 15th. Michigan's athletic department says football and basketball players are welcome back on campus starting this week if they choose to take part in voluntary strength and conditioning work. Michigan says its process for reopening its athletic campus includes a 14-day pre-report risk assessment and a 6-day resocialization period to campus. Iowa's athletic department has reported 2 positive COVID-19 tests during the second week of its return to campus protocol. The school has not disclosed whether it was athletes, coaches, or staff members who tested positive. In the 2 weeks since Iowa began testing, there have been 3 positives and 343 negatives. According to an AP count, at least 45 athletes, coaches, or staff members out of a total of 17 schools have now tested positive in June. A football player at West Virginia has tested positive for the virus, the school said Monday, on the first day of their voluntary workouts. The school's athletic department said in a statement that contact tracing identified other football players who could have been exposed. Both the player who tested positive and the others he may have been in contact with will isolate themselves for 14 days. And in other news, the agent for Ezekiel Elliott says the star running back of the Dallas Cowboys has tested positive for the virus. Rocky Arsenault tells the NFL Network Elliott is feeling okay and recovering. A person with knowledge of the diagnosis says that Elliott had the positive test about a week ago and could be described as symptomatic. Only players who have been rehabilitating injuries have been allowed inside team facilities during the shutdown, and that has not included Elliott. That's a look at the latest in sports here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN Sports.